Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back to the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old-ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
TRA couldn't get to it. The defender who was draped all over him got a touch.
Here's a steal off TRA. Turn to jump score. He scores. I don't believe it. The goalkeeper put the ball down. TRA took it away from him and scored. And Atlanta United might have just pulled off grand theft.
The voices of Mike Conti and Jason Longshore from last night's insane win for Atlanta United over Toronto 2-1. Man, what a game. We were all just kind of prepared for, all right, we're headed towards a draw. This is what it's going to be. You move on, deal with the positives of the situation, but no. Jamal Thiaré pulls off the Jose Alvarado and sneaks in a goal, and what was just an incredible moment. One of those voices on the call, Jason Longshore, is joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And first, before we talk with Jason, I just have to give him an immense amount of credit and appreciation for the simple fact of the man was just on another call tonight and agreed to join us. So first off, Jason, thank you for joining us very quickly after doing that. How'd the match go tonight? Who are you calling?
First off, you know I got you anytime you need it. You know that. So just luckily, this one did not go into extra time and penalties. It was the UPSL Georgia Premier Division Championship match. KSA Pro Profile ended up winning 3-0 over Atlanta United's Academy team, mostly a U19 team. Some players who have played with Atlanta United, too. Second half red card to an Atlanta player that ends up really turning the game. It was a very questionable decision on the red card and then a questionable second goal that looked to be offside from the replays that we were able to get. But KSA moving on into the national tournament where they'll play a team from Charlotte here in a couple of weeks.
We'll talk about a red card in just a bit. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about last night's game. Jason, just from your perspective, where does this one rank amongst the wildest, craziest goals you've witnessed and been a part of the call?
Wildest, craziest, it's at the top, no question, because of the moment.
Okay.
And I was talking to our friend Jessica Charman, who does Charlotte Radio. I was on the call with her tonight, and we were talking about that goal. And both of us have seen that kind of a goal before. It's not super common, but it'll happen once a season in a lot of leagues. Goalkeepers are always told to check their shoulders. Goalkeepers also usually get a little bit of help from the defenders in front of them when something like this happens. I've never seen it, and I don't know anybody who has seen that kind of a goal to decide the match with basically the last touch of the game. It's incredible. I guess the idea that wherever it formulated into Jamal Thiaré's head to do it, and I didn't give him enough credit last night, watching it back a few times today, he's so stealthy.
Yeah.
How he's in the perfect spot behind Gavron. If you're a step or two either side, you start to get into his peripheral vision. But you're right behind him, so he has no idea that TRA is there, and then he times pouncing on the ball perfectly. It's incredible from TRA to have that kind of thought in that moment.
Yeah, I think part of it is the ninja skills that he had of making sure that he wasn't too loud, didn't run too hard, just kind of slowly, you know, kind of crept on the situation. Now, Jason, just because you are, you know, someone who's watched a ton of soccer, knows, you know, rules inside and out, I saw a discourse happening after the match as far as with Jamal stepping over the touchline and whether that was legal or not. Was he given some grace there, or was he within the rules?
I think everybody's given that grace. I don't think it's anything separate from the way the game is called these days. I mean, The laws of the game, as we talked about a red card here in the match that I called tonight, and I know we're going to talk about a red card from Thursday night at the Benz, the laws of the game are flexible to a degree. There are some things that are in black and white, but if you take that book that's in black and white, you can bend it. It's not hardcover. Sure. It's soft cover. So, like, the idea that you're going to bring that back because he stepped off the field after he was standing on the end line because of where the last play took him, that would be an absolute shocking decision to bring it back for that. And we'd probably still be arguing inside the stadium right now about it.
Drinking the keeper's water is what got me. That was just the peak cold moment of all of it. Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason, what do you think a goal like that, a win like that, does for an Atlanta team in their current position of, you know, obviously kind of been a down few weeks, at least from a morale perspective? What do you think that does for them for the remainder of the season?
Look, it flips the morale the other way. It flips the momentum the other way. I mean, we've been talking about it, you know, the goal that is given via VAR that we found out the VAR should not have intervened in the Charlotte match that changed the momentum. The red card decision to Brad Guzan in the LAFC match. You know, things like that, that we see the momentum drain from a team in those moments. This is a momentum boost. This is a morale boost, and especially before you go two games on the road. Now, the thing is, any of those, either way, they're fleeting. And it's on you to either flip it if it's a negative momentum effect or to maintain it if it's a positive. If you go to New England and don't have a good performance and don't get a good result, then that momentum goes away really quickly. So you've got to build on it. And being next to the locker room last night, and you could hear the interviews from the full-time report with Brad Guzan and Daniel Rios, the volume and the vibes were definitely flowing in that room last night. So hopefully that continues into training this week and gets on the plane to head to Foxborough for Wednesday night.
Jason, what's the latest on the timeline with Thiago Almada and that, you know, potential transfer? Like, do you expect that what we witnessed last night was the last game for Thiago, or, you know, could that change? And as well as the rumors and kind of reports going on with Caleb Wiley?
I'm always reluctant to put timelines on these things and to make strong declarative statements on things that are very fluid. I think you heard, and we played the audio from the locker room with Thiago speaking last night. Mm-hmm. I think it was obvious that the time in Atlanta is very short for him. How short, I don't know what that looks like. There were reports today in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about some of the terms of the potential deal. That's also being reported in other outlets around the world. So it's coming quick. Is it going to prevent him from being on that plane to head to New England? I honestly don't know yet. I think the Caleb Wiley one is a little bit further down the road. And the question on that would be, does it happen soon before the window opens in MLS, or does it happen before the Olympics, or does it happen after the Olympics? You know, it's Chelsea and Strasbourg in contention, it sounds like. Now, they have the same owner, so that can easily be resolved. How it gets done kind of is whose name is on the sheet of paper. I would expect that he would play at Strasbourg first. And if you are that ownership group and you believe in Caleb Wiley being that player for you, you want to get the deal done as quickly as possible before the Olympics, because the risk is, I don't think the price is going to go down after the Olympics. If he goes and has a great tournament for the U.S. in that those Olympic Games, that price might go up.
Yeah.
So the urgency would be on the other side of the deal to get it done now and lock in a number before that price could jump.
All right, Jason, moving on to the Copa America, you know, obviously Thursday, disappointment for this U.S. men's national team in that 2-1 loss to Panama. With the Tim Weah send-off, do you see that as, like, pretty uncharacteristic of him? Like, how does that all end up to that moment of the U.S. men's national team playing with 10 men for a substantial part?
It's very frustrating because it is uncharacteristic of Tim Weah, and it's something that the team talked about going into the game. We actually were very interested. Our Soccer Down Here crew and Madison Cruz asked the question at the media availability the day before to Greg Berhalter about how you handle these kinds of things in a match. And they knew who the referee was going to be. And Berhalter talked about it afterwards. And they talked about it. And they said, you can't give him an opportunity to basically become the headline. And Tim Weah gave it to him. And it's a red card. You know, there's no way around it. It's a red card. And it's because of a bump off the ball that, yeah, it's provocative from the Panama player. And it got the intended reaction. And that swing was a red card, and it changed everything. And look, this is what I went through on my Atlanta Soccer Tonight show after that game. Greg Berhalter's job is on the line tomorrow, and I don't know what decision U.S. Soccer would come to and where that goes if they don't get out of this group. I said, not getting out of the group going into the tournament is a failure. So if you fail and you don't have another tournament as another measuring stick between now and the World Cup in 2026, the biggest event for U.S. soccer of all time. I mean, I don't like hyperbole, but sure. It is. It's the biggest opportunity to grow the game. It's the biggest opportunity to make a deep run in the World Cup. It's all there for you in 2 years. And if you have a bad final tournament before going into that major tournament, then you probably have to make a change, even if Greg Berhalter probably told Tim Weah not to do anything like that, and Tim Weah did it, and the players wanted Greg Berhalter as their manager. They lobbied for him when the decision was being made after the World Cup. And now, ultimately, it's going to be the players that decide his fate, because if they go on and have what would be one of the best performances in U.S. soccer history and beat Uruguay by the necessary number of goals to advance, because just winning might not be enough. If they do that, then he's your coach through the World Cup, because they have done that for him to keep him in that job. If they don't, I think you have to look at other options, and things get very interesting in terms of U.S. soccer and their decisions between now and 2026, and you got to make a decision quick.
Yeah, Jason, just explain a little bit the specifics of what U.S. has to do on Monday, and then also just the competition level of Uruguay.
I don't have my flow chart in front of me, but the complication of this is twofold. It's because you didn't get out of there at a 1-1 draw with Panama. That would have given you more ways to advance. You lose the game, so Panama playing the worst team in the group at the same time, you would expect them to win by multiple goals. They are 2 goals back in goal differential right now. So if the U.S. beats Uruguay, which would be an upset, and Panama beats Bolivia, which would be expected, the goal differential will come into play for all three teams, because all three teams would be on 6 points. Uruguay has a large goal differential because of their 5-0 win over Bolivia on Thursday night. The U.S. has a 2-goal advantage over Panama. But going into those games on Monday night, you would expect if the U.S. wins, it's going to be tight. I don't see them winning by multiple goals. If they do that, then they're in a pretty good spot. Say they win by 1, and Panama wins by 3 over Bolivia, who has not scored in the tournament, and they've conceded 7. That's a likely scenario. That would mean that if the U.S. wins 1-0, Panama wins 4-0, let's say. So it flips that way. Both believable scores. Panama would go through. The U.S. would finish in third.
Wow. All right. That is tricky. Yeah, that is what it's going to come down to. All right, Jason, appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday evening, and hopefully we can see a positive result on Wednesday.
I will have Atlanta Soccer Tonight
tomorrow after
that U.S. game, so at 11 o'clock, and I don't know if it's going to be a celebration or if it's going to be a therapy session. So tune in either way, because it could be very entertaining.
All right. Appreciate it, Jason.
Thanks, Caleb.
And make sure, yes, to tune in to Atlanta Soccer Tonight. That is Monday night, 11 o'clock. That'll follow the U.S. men's match. And then, like I said, we've got New England and Atlanta United on Wednesday. I believe that is up in New England. So plenty of soccer coming up in the near future, especially before I talk to you all again, my next show on July 4th. We'll come back with the last segment of the Dopey Millennial Show, news you can lose, as well as handing out a participation trophy. It's up next. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 989 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back to the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
TRA couldn't get to it. The defender, he was draped all over him. Got a touch.
Here's a steal off TRA. Turn to jump score. He scores. I don't believe it. The goalkeeper put the ball down. TRA took it away from him and scored. And Atlanta United might have just pulled off grand theft.
The voices of Mike Conti and Jason Longshore from last night's insane win for Atlanta United over Toronto 2-1. Man, what a game. We were all just kind of prepared for, all right, we're headed towards a draw. This is what it's going to be. You move on, deal with the positives of the situation, but no. Jamal Thiaré pulls off the Jose Alvarado and sneaks in a goal and what was just an incredible moment. One of those voices on the call, Jason Longshore, is joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And first, before we talk with Jason, I just have to give him an immense amount of credit and appreciation for the simple fact of the man was just on another call tonight and agreed to join us. So first off, Jason, thank you for joining us very quickly after doing that. How'd the match go tonight? Who are you calling?
First off, you know I got you anytime you need it. You know that. So just luckily, this one did not go into extra time and penalties. It was the UPSL Georgia Premier Division Championship match, KSA Pro Profile. Ended up winning 3-0 over Atlanta United's academy team, mostly a U19 team. Some players who have played with Atlanta United too. Second half red card to an Atlanta player that ends up really turning the game. It was a very questionable decision on the red card and then a questionable second goal that looked to be offside from the replays that we were able to get. But KSA moving on into the national tournament where they'll play a team from Charlotte here in a couple of weeks.
We'll talk about a red card in just a bit. Before we get into that, I do want to talk about last night's game. Jason, just from your perspective, where does this one rank amongst the wildest, craziest goals you've witnessed and been a part of the call?
Wildest, craziest, it's at the top, no question, because of the moment.
Okay.
And I was talking to our friend Jessica Charman, who does Charlotte Radio. I was on the call with her tonight, and we were talking about that goal. And both of us have seen that kind of a goal before. It's not super common, but it'll happen once a season in a lot of leagues. Goalkeepers are always told to check their shoulders. Goalkeepers also usually get a little bit of help from the defenders in front of them when something like this happens. I've never seen it, and I don't know anybody who has seen that kind of a goal to decide the match with basically the last touch of the game. It's incredible. Just, I guess the idea that wherever it formulated into Jamal Thiaré's head to do it, and I didn't give him enough credit last night, watching it back a few times today, he's so stealthy in how he's in the perfect spot behind Gavron. If you're a step or two either side, you start to get into his peripheral vision, but you're right behind him, so he has no idea that TRA is there, and then he times pouncing on the ball perfectly. It's incredible from TRA to have that kind of thought in that moment.
Yeah, I think part of it is the ninja skills that he had of making sure that he wasn't too loud, didn't run too hard, just kind of slowly, you know, kind of crept on the situation. Now, Jason, just because you are, you know, someone who's watched a ton of soccer, knows, you know, rules inside and out, I saw a discourse happening after the match as far as with Jamal stepping over the touchline and whether that was legal or not. Did he kind of, was he given some grace there, or was he within the rules?
I think everybody's given that grace. I don't think it's anything separate from the way the game is called these days. I mean, the laws of the game, as we talked about a red card here in the match that I called tonight, and I know we're going to talk about a red card from Thursday night at the Benz, the laws of the game are flexible to a degree. There are some things that are in black and white, but if you take that book that's in black and white, you can bend it. It's not hardcover. Sure. It's soft cover. So, like, the idea that you're going to bring that back because he stepped off the field after he was standing on the end line because of where the last play took him, that would be an absolute shocking decision to bring it back for that. And we'd probably still be arguing inside the stadium right now about it.
Drinking the keeper's water is what got me. That was just the peak
cold
moment of all of it. Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Jason, what do you think a goal like that, a win like that, does for an Atlanta team in their current position of, you know, obviously kind of been a down few weeks, at least from a morale perspective? What do you think that does for them for the remainder of the season?
Look, it flips the morale the other way. It flips the momentum the other way. I mean, we've been talking about it, you know, the goal that is given via VAR that we found out the VAR should not have intervened in the Charlotte match that changed the momentum. The red card decision to Brad Guzan in the LAFC match. You know, things like that, that we see the momentum drain from a team in those moments. This is a momentum boost. This is a morale boost, and especially before you go two games on the road. Now, the thing is, any of those, either way, they're fleeting. And it's on you to either flip it if it's a negative momentum effect or to maintain it if it's a positive. If you go to New England and don't have a good performance and don't get a good result, then that momentum goes away really quickly. So you've got to build on it. And being next to the locker room last night, and you could hear the interviews from the full-time report with Brad Guzan and Daniel Rios, the volume and the vibes were definitely flowing in that room last night. So hopefully that continues into training this week and gets on the plane to head to Foxborough for Wednesday night.
Jason, what's the latest on the timeline with Thiago Almada and that, you know, potential transfer? Like, do you expect that what we witnessed last night was the last game for Thiago, or, you know, could that change? And as well as the rumors and kind of reports going on with Caleb Wiley?
I'm always reluctant to put timelines on these things and to make strong declarative statements on things that are very fluid. I think you heard, and we played the audio from the locker room with Thiago speaking last night. Mm-hmm. I think it was obvious that the time in Atlanta is very short for him. How short, I don't know what that looks like. There were reports today in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about some of the terms of the potential deal. That's also being reported in other outlets around the world. So it's coming quick. Is it going to prevent him from being on that plane to head to New England? I honestly don't know yet. I think the Caleb Wiley one is a little bit further down the road. And the question on that would be, does it happen soon before the window opens in MLS, or does it happen before the Olympics, or does it happen after the Olympics? You know, it's Chelsea and Strasbourg in contention, it sounds like. Now, they have the same owner, so that can easily be resolved. How it gets done kind of is whose name is on the sheet of paper. I would expect that he would play at Strasbourg first. And if you are that ownership group and you believe in Caleb Wiley being that player for you, you want to get the deal done as quickly as possible before the Olympics, because the risk is, I don't think the price is going to go down after the Olympics. If he goes and has a great tournament for the U.S. in those Olympic Games, that price might go up.
Yeah.
So the urgency would be on the other side of the deal to get it done now and lock in a number before that price could jump.
All right, Jason, moving on to the Copa America, you know, obviously Thursday, disappointment for this U.S. men's national team and that 2-1 loss to Panama. With the Tim Weah send-off, do you see that as, like, pretty uncharacteristic of him? Like, how does that all end up to that moment of the U.S. men's national team playing with 10 men for a substantial part?
It's very frustrating because it is uncharacteristic of Tim Weah, and it's something that the team talked about going into the game. We actually were very interested. Our Soccer Down Here crew and Madison Cruz asked the question at the media availability the day before to Greg Berhalter about how you handle these kinds of things in a match, and they knew who the referee was going to be, and Berhalter talked about it afterwards, and they talked about it, and they said you can't give him an opportunity to basically become the headline. And Tim Weah gave it to him, and it's a red card. There's no way around it. It's a red card, and it's because of a bump off the ball that, yeah, it's provocative from the Panama player, and it got the intended reaction, and that swing was a red card, and it changed everything. And look, this is what I went through on my Atlanta Soccer Tonight show after that game. Greg Berhalter's job is on the line tomorrow, and I don't know what decision U.S. Soccer would come to and where that goes if they don't get out of this group. I said not getting out of the group going into the tournament is a failure. So if you fail and you don't have another tournament as another measuring stick between now and the World Cup in 2026, the biggest event for U.S. soccer of all time. I mean, I don't like hyperbole, but sure. It is. It's the biggest opportunity to grow the game. It's the biggest opportunity to make a deep run in the World Cup. It's all there for you in 2 years. And if you have a bad final tournament before going into that major tournament, then you probably have to make a change, even if Greg Berhalter probably told Tim Weah not to do anything like that, and Tim Weah did it. And the players wanted Greg Berhalter as their manager. They lobbied for him when the decision was being made after the World Cup. And now, ultimately, it's going to be the players that decide his fate. Because if they go on and have what would be one of the best performances in U.S. soccer history and beat Uruguay by the necessary number of goals to advance, because just winning might not be enough, if they do that, then he's your coach through the World Cup because they have done that for him to keep him in that job. If they don't, I think you have to look at other options, and things get very interesting in terms of U.S. soccer and their decisions between now and 2026, and you got to make a decision quick.
Yeah, Jason, just explain a little bit the specifics of what U.S. has to do on Monday and then also just the competition level of Uruguay.
I don't have my flow chart in front of me, but the complication of this is twofold. It's because you didn't get out of there at a 1-1 draw with Panama. That would have given you more ways to advance. You lose the game. So Panama playing the worst team in the group at the same time, you would expect them to win by multiple goals. They are 2 goals back in goal differential right now. So if the U.S. beats Uruguay, which would be an upset, and Panama beats Bolivia, which would be expected, the goal differential will come into play for all three teams because all three teams would be on 6 points. Uruguay has a large goal differential because of their 5-0 win over Bolivia on Thursday night. The U.S. has a 2-goal advantage over Panama. But going into those games on Monday night, you would expect if the U.S. wins, it's going to be tight. I don't see them winning by multiple goals. If they do that, then they're in a pretty good spot. Say they win by 1, and Panama wins by 3 over Bolivia, who has not scored in the tournament, and they've conceded 7. That's a likely scenario. That would mean that if the U.S. wins 1-0, Panama wins 4-0, let's say. So it flips that way. Both believable scores. Panama would go through. The U.S. would finish in 3rd.
Wow. All right. That is tricky. Yeah, that is what it's going to come down to. All right, Jason, appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday evening, and hopefully we can see a positive result on Wednesday.
I will have Atlanta Soccer Tonight
tomorrow
after that U.S. game, so at 11 o'clock, and I don't know if it's going to be a celebration or if it's going to be a therapy session. So tune in either way because it could be very entertaining.
All right. Appreciate it, Jason.
Thanks, Caleb.
And make sure, yes, to tune into Atlanta Soccer tonight. That is Monday night, 11 o'clock. That'll follow the U.S. men's match. And then, like I said, we've got New England and Atlanta United on Wednesday. I believe that is up in New England. So plenty of soccer coming up in the near future, especially before I talk to you all again, my next show on July 4th. We'll come back with the last segment of the Dopey Millennial Show, news you can lose, as well as handing out a participation trophy. It's up next. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
TRA couldn't get to it. The defender, he was draped all over and got a touch.
Here's a steal off TRA. Turn to jump score. He scores. I don't believe it. The goalkeeper put the ball.
That, the voices of Mike Conti and Jason Longshore from last night's insane win for Atlanta United over Toronto 2-1. Man, what a game. We were all just kind of prepared for, all right, we're headed towards a draw. This is what it's going to be. You move on, deal with the positives of the situation, but no. Jamal Thiaré pulls off the Jose Alvarado and sneaks in a goal and what was just an incredible moment. One of those voices on the call, Jason Longshore, is joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And first, before we talk with Jason, I just have to give him an immense amount of credit and appreciation for the simple fact of the man was just on another call tonight and agreed to join us. So first off, Jason, thank you for joining us very quickly after doing that. How'd the match go tonight? Who are you calling?
First off, you know I got you anytime you need it. You know that. So just luckily, this one did not go into extra time and penalties. It was the UPSL Georgia Premier Division Championship match. KSA Pro Profile ended up winning 3-0 over Atlanta United's Academy team, mostly a U19 team. Some players who have played with Atlanta United too. Second half red card to an Atlanta player that ends up really turning the game. It was a very questionable decision on the red card and then a questionable second goal that looked to be offside from the replays that we were able to get. But KSA moving on into the national tournament where they'll play a team from Charlotte here in a couple of weeks.
We'll talk about a red card in just a bit. Before we get into that, I do want to talk about last night's game. Jason, just from your perspective, where does this one rank amongst the wildest, craziest goals you've witnessed and been a part of the call?
Wildest, craziest, it's at the top, no question, because of the moment.
Okay.
And I was talking to our friend Jessica Charman, who does Charlotte Radio. I was on the call with her tonight, and we were talking about that goal. And both of us have seen that kind of a goal before. It's not super common, but it'll happen once a season in a lot of leagues. Goalkeepers are always told to check their shoulders. Goalkeepers also usually get a little bit of help from the defenders in front of them when something like this happens. I've never seen it, and I don't know anybody who has seen that kind of a goal to decide the match with basically the last touch of the game. It's incredible. I guess the idea that wherever it formulated into Jamal Thiaré's head to do it, and I didn't give him enough credit last night, watching it back a few times today, he's so stealthy
yeah.
in how he's in the perfect spot behind Gavron. If you're a step or two either side, you start to get into his peripheral vision. But you're right behind him, so he has no idea that TRA is there at any times pouncing on the ball perfectly. It's incredible from TRA to have that kind of thought in that moment.
Yeah, I think part of it is the ninja skills that he had of making sure that he wasn't too loud, didn't run too hard, just kind of slowly, you know, kind of crept on the situation. Now, Jason, just because you are, you know, someone who's watched a ton of soccer, knows, you know, rules inside and out, I saw a discourse happening after the match as far as with Jamal stepping over the touchline and whether that was legal or not. Did he kind of, was he given some grace there, or was he within the rules?
I think everybody's given that grace. I don't think it's anything separate from the way the game is called these days. I mean, the laws of the game, as we talked about a red card here in the match that I called tonight, and I know we're going to talk about a red card from Thursday night at the Benz, the laws of the game are flexible to a degree. There are some things that are in black and white, but if you take that book that's in black and white, you can bend it. It's not hardcover. Sure. It's softcover. So, like, the idea that you're going to bring that back because he stepped off the field after he was standing on the end line because of where the last play took him, that would be an absolute shocking decision to bring it back for that. And we'd probably still be arguing inside the stadium right now about it.
Drinking the keeper's water is what got me. That was just the peak
cold
moment of all of it. Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason, what do you think a goal like that, a win like that, does for an Atlanta team in their current position of, you know, obviously kind of been a down few weeks, at least from a morale perspective? What do you think that does for them for the remainder of the season?
Look, it flips the morale the other way. It flips the momentum the other way. I mean, we've been talking about it, you know, the goal that is given via VAR that we found out the VAR should not have intervened in the Charlotte match that changed the momentum. The red card decision to Brad Guzan in the LAFC match. You know, things like that, that we see the momentum drain from a team in those moments. This is a momentum boost. This is a morale boost, and especially before you go two games on the road. Now, the thing is, any of those, either way, they're fleeting, and it's on you to either flip it if it's a negative momentum effect or to maintain it if it's a positive. If you go to New England and don't have a good performance and don't get a good result, then that momentum goes away really quickly. So you've got to build on it. And being next to the locker room last night, and you could hear the interviews from the full-time report with Brad Guzan and Daniel Rios, the volume and the vibes were definitely flowing in that room last night. So hopefully that continues into training this week and gets on the plane to head to Foxborough for Wednesday night.
Jason, what's the latest on the timeline with Thiago Almada and that, you know, potential transfer? Like, do you expect that what we witnessed last night was the last game for Thiago, or, you know, could that change? And as well as the rumors and kind of reports going on with Caleb Wiley?
I'm always reluctant to put timelines on these things and to make strong declarative statements on things that very fluid. I think you heard, and we played the audio from the locker room with Thiago speaking last night. Mm-hmm. I think it was obvious that the time in Atlanta is very short for him. How short, I don't know what that looks like. There were reports today in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about some of the terms of the potential deal. That's also being reported in other outlets around the world. So it's coming quick. Is it going to prevent him from being on that plane to head to New England? I honestly don't know yet. I think the Caleb Wiley one is a little bit further down the road. And the question on that would be, does it happen soon before the window opens in MLS, or does it happen before the Olympics, or does it happen after the Olympics? You know, it's Chelsea and Strasbourg in contention, it sounds like. Now, they have the same owner, so that can easily be resolved. How it gets done kind of is whose name is on the sheet of paper. I would expect that he would play at Strasbourg first. And if you are that ownership group and you believe in Caleb Wiley being that player for you, you want to get the deal done as quickly as possible before the Olympics, because The risk is, I don't think the price is going to go down after the Olympics. If he goes and has a great tournament for the U.S. in that those Olympic Games, that price might go up.
Yeah.
So the urgency would be on the other side of the deal to get it done now and lock in a number before that price could jump.
All right, Jason, moving on to the Copa America, you know, obviously Thursday, disappointment for this U.S. men's national team in that 2-1 loss to Panama. With the Tim Weah send-off, do you see that as, like, pretty uncharacteristic of him? Like, how does that all end up to that moment of the U.S. men's national team playing with 10 men for a substantial part?
It's very frustrating because it is uncharacteristic of Tim Weah, and it's something that the team talked about going into the game. We actually were very interested. Our Soccer Down Here crew and Madison Cruz asked the question at the media availability the day before to Greg Berhalter about how you handle these kinds of things in a match. And they knew who the referee was going to be, and Berhalter talked about it afterwards, and they talked about it, and they said you can't give him an opportunity to basically become the headline. And Tim Weah gave it to him, and it's a red card. There's no way around it. It's a red card, and it's because of a bump off the ball that, it's provocative from the Panama player, and it got the intended reaction, and that swing was a red card, and it changed everything. And look, this is what I went through on my Atlanta Soccer Tonight show after that game. Greg Berhalter's job is on the line tomorrow, and I don't know what decision U.S. Soccer would come to and where that goes if they don't get out of this group. I said not getting out of the group going into the tournament is a failure. So if you fail and you don't have another tournament as another measuring stick between now and the World Cup in 2026, the biggest event for U.S. soccer of all time. I mean, I don't like hyperbole, but sure. It is. It's the biggest opportunity to grow the game. It's the biggest opportunity to make a deep run in the World Cup. It's all there for you in 2 years. And if you have a bad final tournament before going into that major tournament, then you probably have to make a change, even if Greg Berhalter probably told Tim Weah not to do anything like that, and Tim Weah did it. And the players wanted Greg Berhalter as their manager. They lobbied for him when the decision was being made after the World Cup. And now, ultimately, it's going to be the players that decide his fate. Because if they go on and have what would be one of the best performances in U.S. soccer history and beat Uruguay by the necessary number of goals to advance, because just winning might not be enough, if they do that, then he's your coach through the World Cup because they have done that for him to keep him in that job. If they don't, I think you have to look at other options, and things get very interesting in terms of U.S. soccer and their decisions between now and 2026, and you got to make a decision quick.
Yeah, Jason, just explain a little bit the specifics of what U.S. has to do on Monday and then also just the competition level of Uruguay.
I don't have my flow chart in front of me, but the complication of this is twofold. It's because you didn't get out of there at a 1-1 draw with Panama. That would have given you more ways to advance. You lose the game. So Panama playing the worst team in the group at the same time, you would expect them to win by multiple goals. They are 2 goals back in goal differential right now. So if the U.S. beats Uruguay, which would be an upset, and Panama beats Bolivia, which would be expected, the goal differential will come into play for all three teams because all three teams would be on 6 points. Uruguay has a large goal differential because of their 5-0 win over Bolivia on Thursday night. The U.S. has a 2-goal advantage over Panama. But going into those games on Monday night, you would expect if the U.S. wins, it's going to be tight. I don't see them winning by multiple goals. If they do that, then they're in a pretty good spot. Say they win by 1, and Panama wins by 3 over Bolivia, who has not scored in the tournament, and they've conceded 7. That's a likely scenario. That would mean that if the U.S. wins 1-0, Panama wins 4-0, let's say. So it flips that way. Both believable scores. Panama would go through. The U.S. would finish in third.
Wow. All right. That is tricky. Yeah, that is what it's going to come down to. All right, Jason, appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday evening, and hopefully we can see a positive result on Wednesday.
I will have Atlanta soccer tonight, tomorrow, after that U.S. game, so at 11 o'clock. And I don't know if it's going to be a celebration or if it's going to be a therapy session. So tune in either way because it could be very entertaining.
All right. Appreciate it, Jason.
Thanks, Caleb.
And make sure, yes, to tune in to Atlanta soccer tonight. That is Monday night, 11 o'clock. That'll follow the U.S. men's match. And then, like I said, we've got New England and Atlanta United on Wednesday. I believe that is up in New England. So plenty of soccer coming up in the near future, especially before I talk to you all again, my next show on July 4th. We'll come back with the last segment of the Dopey Millennial Show, news you can lose, as well as handing out a participation trophy. It's up next. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.